Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith. Well, with the Lord's help, we're going to conclude a message on the healing of wounds. We've shared that this was the ministry of Jesus. He came to bind up the brokenhearted, heal them of their wounds. We, as His disciples, are given that same calling and commission. And we've been looking at how wounds are afflicted, and there are various kinds of wounds. There's the wounding of the Lord, if you will, or the chastening of the Lord, which might not be pleasant for the moment. It could be painful. It's not, you know, it is grievous, but afterward it yields the peaceable fruits of righteousness. Then, of course, something we can readily identify with, the wounds of the enemy, as well as the wounds caused by others. And we see, as far as the wounds caused by others, they're caused by offense, by wounds that are inflicted with words or by actions, inconsiderate behavior, by an abuse of our liberty in Christ, and also by being selfish. We've all been confronted by someone who is thinking only about themselves, and we get hurt by that. And we've hurt others by our own selfishness. That's a mark of immaturity, beloved. Jesus wasn't selfish. And as we walk with the Lord, the Holy Spirit will teach us to be less and less selfish as we mature in Christ. Now, on today's broadcast, we want to look at self-inflicted wounds. Sometimes people can wound themselves. We see this in those who are oversensitive, those who are feeling unloved or living in self-pity. And I can well understand that. There's times in my life I was very good at having a pity party, especially before I was unsaved, and even afterwards at times. I don't know about you. I'm being totally honest and transparent. So we can wound ourselves by this kind of, you know, feeling sorry for ourselves, by resentment. That's another way we can wound ourselves, when we allow resentment to build up, and when we harbor it within. That's a very deadly thing. And then there's bitterness. Bitterness is related to resentment, but it's not the same. Perhaps we could think of it as being further down the road. It's more intense than resentment because it's something that goes deeper and it lasts a long time. It's stronger and more permanent, and thereby it's more spiritually debilitating. Hebrews 12 and 15 says, looking diligently, be careful now, it says, look diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God. God's grace will help you in this area. He goes on to say, lest, this is what he's cautioning, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many may be defiled. If we have rank bitterness in our souls, beloved, it just doesn't stay with us. It spills over. Many may be defiled. And it doesn't even have to be by words, just your very presence. Sometimes, haven't you been around people? It's like, oh, you don't want to be around them because, it's just where they're at. And that's that root of bitterness. Colossians 3:19 talks to husbands to love their wives and be not bitter against them. James 3:14 says, but if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. In other words, we need to admit, if we do have bitterness, the Holy Spirit knows how to convict us. And if we come to Him, He'll cleanse us from sin and all unrighteousness. Ephesians 4:31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. Beloved, bitterness can have such a lasting, harmful effect on anyone who allows it in their lives, and the Bible gives many warnings against it. So, beloved, we got to be careful of resentment, of bitterness. And then there's being self-defensive. That's actually, You might never have thought about it, but we can wound ourselves by always defending our own rights. Why? It indicates, someone who's so self-defensive, it indicates they've been hurt a lot. And so those walls, those defenses go up. They're always seeking, you know, the slightest hint of anything that would be a threat to them or a danger to them. Those, you know, their defenses go up, and they either, there's a wall that you can't penetrate, or else they come out swinging, if you will. They become abusive with their words or actions. And when a person is always watching to see if his rights are not violated, his attitude can be one of retaliation, which is a harmful attitude. And beloved, it's a question of balance. I'm certainly not saying that we need to just let others walk over us, be a doormat for the devil and for others, but we also have to understand that love is not easily offended. The Lord is our defense. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. He is going to repay. Proverbs 8:14 says, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? Beloved, we need our spirits healed. We need souls healed. Amen. And, you know, a way we can, where God wants to bring us, I've been talking about the wounds that even Christians have deep within their soul. Sometimes they can go for many years. They put on a good front. They could be very active in church, wonderful people, but they're still hurting deep within. And so God wants to, in the weeks and months ahead, He wants to bring a total healing to us. I believe that. If we're going to be a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, well, I declare that work of healing must be accomplished. And so, beloved, He wants that all of us who follow Him, to become peacemakers, to learn to help others. And to do that, we first have to get alone and be reconciled to the Lord. We have to be healed. Before we can be that kind of person, we have to be wounded unto death ourselves. And what does that mean? Romans 6:11 says, this is the Amplified Translation, even so, consider yourselves also dead to sin, and your relation to it broken, but that you are alive to God, living in unbroken fellowship with Him in Christ Jesus. Beloved, when we're dead in Christ, we can begin to live a life in God that is not a series of reaction to others. Now, you might say, well, no, I understand that. Theologically, yes, that's what happens. We're born again. We die to the old man, to sin, and we're alive. We're a new creature in Christ. Well, I'm not just talking about theological position here. I'm talking about a life that initiates love and forgiveness rather than for waiting for someone to find you and help you get to the bottom of your problems. It's a life in the offensive and not on the defensive. What does it mean, really, to be a dead man? It means that a dead person, I'm telling you what, if you went to the funeral of Brother Joe, you might say, well, you know what, he wasn't such a great guy at all. In fact, he was really a rotten rascal. Do you think he's lying in his coffin, he's going to be hurt by what you're saying? He's dead. He doesn't even hear you. And so, beloved, we're to come into that place as dead men, if you will. Does that mean that you wouldn't have a response? That means that you wouldn't initially be heard? Well, even Jesus, if he was tempted in all points as we, don't you think, oh dear, in all the things he suffered, that his feelings could have been hurt? Of course, but he didn't sin. He knew how to handle them. He knew how to go to his Father in prayer. So what does it mean to be a dead man? It means that we don't care if someone doesn't show us proper respect. You know, we're willing to just let it go. Love is not easily offended. How not to be, you know, and also if we love God's word, we're never offended. Praise God. There's actually a scripture. I don't remember it now, but I'm telling you, if we're really dead in Christ, we're not going to be super sensitive, and we could care less what our neighbors are saying about us, and we can't be bruised emotionally. We won't let it fester. We might get hit. but we're not going to let that go down into our soul and fester and become a wound of resentment and bitterness. That's what I'm talking about. It doesn't mean we're not going to have reactions, we're not going to have emotions, but we're not going to be ruled by them. That's the difference, you see. And so we don't, you know, also, you know, it's not only that oversensitivity brings barriers and walls between people. And if we're dead in Christ, we won't have that protective emotional cover. When a believer is not willing to remove those emotional barriers which separate him from others, those walls, he's like a seed that is never planted and therefore never produces. Jesus talked a lot about seeds. A seed which falls into the ground brings new life, doesn't it? But it only does that when it dies. It's like a resurrection many times over. That dead, dry seed grows and produces fruit. The new fruit bears seed, which produces more growth and more fruit in a never-ending cycle. But beloved, we can stop that cycle. God doesn't strip away that protective cover that we put around ourselves by force. We have to let Him and allow Him to teach us to take it down, how to love others, even the unlovable. Whenever anyone chooses to shield himself from death to self, he stops the cycle. I'm going to repeat that. If we choose to shield ourselves from death to self, we will stop this cycle of bearing fruit. We have to die. God's ways are difficult to comprehend, but they work, beloved. And if you will yield to His plan, all will be well in the long run. His plan is that the believer, like the corn or wheat that falls into the ground and dies, they will die in order to bring forth much fruit. And if a believer will die to those petty differences which separate people, be willing to be misunderstood in order to help someone, not always think of himself first, but others, this is the death of the believer, the death of self. And that death of self allows the life of Christ to flow through him, that we might be, as Jesus was, ministers of reconciliation, ministers of healing, to the lost and to the wounded of this world. Amen. Praise God. Well, my time has just flown by and I must bring this broadcast to a close. If you have areas that need healing in your soul, I do invite you to write. I do understand. I know what it is to need God's healing. And so the announcer will give you our contact information. Thank you for listening. And until next time, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.